I get to invite Tom Creighton here today. He's worked hard preparing this week and letting me rest a little bit. So thank you for that, Tom. He's going to bring the word of the Lord to us today. And Tom's been serving as deacon of discipleship here at Faith Baptist. And excited to hear what God's put on his heart today. I thought we'd open in a word of prayer here. So, Lord, we give you praise for a new year. We give you praise for your faithfulness as we reflect on 2022. And I pray, Lord, you would use your word here this morning to encourage our hearts. So, Lord, give us listening ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, sir. All right, good morning. Whoa. If that's okay for you guys, I'd like to turn that down just a little bit because I can hear myself echoing back. I typically don't have a mic on. I'm typically talking to a big room of people without a mic. So this morning, January 1. We don't get a January 1 on a Sunday very often, but what a way to bring in the new year. And one of the things that brought me to the stuff that we have this morning is I have a lot of stuff that comes in my emails in leadership, in motivating people, things like that. And one of the things that came across was choose 5 words. And of those 5 words, so one of those large boxes of words, and they had hundreds of words in it probably, but choose the first 5 words. The first 5 words that you see are the 5 words for your 2023. And I've kind of worked off of a word for the year anyway for the last few years. And so for the next slide, please. These are the 5 words that I came up with. Whoa, I should have changed that drastically. Gratitude, purpose, connection, strength, and miracle. And the way that I use those, excuse me, in my office is that I put those on a white sheet of paper. I put them in my office. I put that same sheet out in my emergency operations center where I have classes and where we hold meetings and trainings. And I also put it at the door. And what I added with that is always have gratitude. What is your purpose, and live with a purpose? Make connection. Honor strength. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit, about a couple of sides of that. And then the last one is miracles will happen. If we do these first 4, gratitude, purpose, connection, strength, miracles will happen. So let's go to the next slide, please. So the first one is gratitude. And I apologize if those types are a little small. At least it is on that one back there. But gratitude is something that even in the study of Exodus, that was the one thing that God expected of his people, was worship and gratitude. This verse here comes out of Psalms 136, and it is, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Of everything else," and I'm a little weird, but every morning I get up, and my wife hates it when I get up in the morning, because I take my phone and I take my boombox speaker, whatever, into the bathroom with me, and then I play Gaither music while I'm showering. And of course, sometimes I'm in the mood to kind of turn that volume up, and she always tells me she won't wake up to music, because if she woke up to music, I'd wake her up every morning so she sleeps. But it's always a thing about getting up and just enjoying the morning. Mornings are, I'm a morning person, and so I really like getting up in the morning and listening to worship music. And as I stand there and shave and shower and all that stuff, it just gives me that peace to start the morning. And so gratitude is the way that starts. And then being able to drive to work. So we live in Ackley. I drive down to Eldora to work, or I'll drive around the county. And every morning, since we moved down to Hardin County, every morning I have thanked God in being able to move to Hardin County and see the things of His beauty every single morning. Whether it's the clouds, whether it's the trees, I drive through a small area kind of south of us, and the last 2 weeks there has been a cardinal in a group of birds that flies up every morning when I drive through. So I kind of just enjoy those kinds of things. Then as we move through in Colossians 3:17, says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Everything we do, we give thanks for. Now, again, I've had a long career of living in people's disasters. My career has always been living in people's worst days. But my purpose really came out of that. I mean, I started, when I came out of Bible college, it was, I'm going to preach. It only took me about 2 months, and that was like, yep, you're not going to be doing that. And so then I moved over to the hospital, and I started in the EMS world, and I've enjoyed that. I moved up through EMS. I moved into respiratory therapy. Then I got into the medical examiner investigator. Now, that is going to sound weird that I really like that, but every time I get to go to investigate a dead body, I'm actually getting to minister to the people that are still there. I'm there in their worst day. I don't do as much of it anymore, but I used to be able to go in, and if there wasn't anybody there, I would start out just by having a conversation with them, and then asking them if they want to pray, and then asking them if they would like their pastor called or who they'd like called. And then when I got into emergency management, it was always kind of living for the next disaster. I know, that sounds really strange, but my purpose actually comes out of being able to serve the people that are in that disaster. My mission statement for my agency is treating people with respect and compassion so that they have hope after the disaster. And I've told Dawn the last year or so that after COVID, my office, for some reason, has become the place that people want to come and just unload. I'm in a building by myself. I have the opportunity to have my doors locked, so only a few people have keys to my office, and otherwise I get to at least walk to the door and bring them in. But a lot of those people that have keys to my office will stop at odd times. They'll stop at 9 o'clock in the morning because their morning didn't start right. They'll stop at after lunch because they've had a long morning, and it's like, I just need to unload. Well, I stand that with a lot of, I have a lot of gratitude for that. God gave me, He sent me to Bible college, didn't do a lot of preaching, but all the time that I've been serving the people over the years, I've been serving him. Because I'm just putting a little piece, just one piece of hope in their worst day. Let's move to the next slide. Purpose. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Then when you look at Exodus, and we went through Exodus, Rob's done a good job of bringing us through Exodus and studying the people of Israel and how God had brought them out of Egypt and what his plan was for them. And the plan's not complete yet. We're still a part of that plan and going to be with him in the end. But in Exodus 9:16, but for this purpose, I have raised you up to show you my power so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. Exodus and Ecclesiastes. Let me go back to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, Solomon had gone through, he'd tried everything. He had tried women, he'd tried wine, he'd tried power. And all of it was, and one of his other statements in that book is, it's all worthless. Everything is worthless, at least in all of that stuff. But when he comes to the end of the matter, if we focus our life in being thankful and grateful and then praising God and telling people about the good things that he does. That's really tough. I understand that. I understand that when, and again, forgive me, but all of my experiences are out of people's worst days. So that's just kind of the way I work. But on their worst day, I go into Mrs. Jones's house. And this had happened a couple of times up here while I was in Franklin County. I went into one lady's house, and she was devastated. She was 80 years old. Please don't take this as any offense, all right? It's just part of the story. She was 80 years old, and her husband had passed. And she sat there, and I'd had her as a school teacher previous in my life. So she and I knew each other from a long time ago. And I sat down with her, and she goes, I got nothing. What am I going to do without him? And I don't remember the name of him, but she goes, what am I going to do? So I took about 10 minutes, and all of my medical examiner calls always take a lot longer than they pay you for. They figure you can get it done in an hour. Go in, take pictures, get the information out, and you can finish up. My calls typically took me 2 hours because I sat with her that day and I said, you know, this looks like the last for you. This looks like you can't go anywhere. But now you have his memory to take with you. You have him, and he's always going to be there telling you in the back of your mind, that's what you should be doing. I think of all of the things that we do, being able to share hope. There are so many people, in fact, the number of suicides are going up, and especially after COVID, the suicide rates going up. People are always at the end of their rope. And a lot of times people will say to me, well, how do people get to the point that they want to commit suicide? Because they don't have a purpose. And until they get to a point where they can look past a permanent solution for a temporary problem, they're not going to have hope. Isn't that what God did for us? Didn't He give us hope that no matter what's going on, and I was back here with the worship team before we started this morning, and their discussion was, come back your train. Tracks went the other way. Ashley, where are you at? Remind me what that started with. Yes. Second chances. And when you look through the Bible, just about everybody that was used by God, it was on their second or third chance. Think about David. David started out really good. And then he was relaxing, which he should have never done. He should have just kept right on working and he wouldn't have had to worry about this. But I digress. He was relaxing on top of his house and he looks across and here's Bathsheba relaxing on top of her house with the jacuzzi and the nice deck, and she looks really nice, and he all of a sudden goes, I think I want Bathsheba. And then to cover all that stuff up, because he was not willing to accept the responsibility for that sin, then he went down the road of having murder. He ended up losing his own son over the deal. But then he came back. And he finally, and Psalms has a lot about it, in that he understood that when he got to the end of his rope, God had more rope. The end of the rope for us is really the beginning of the rope for God. Then we get a long rope. Okay? But purpose, what do you live for? What are you doing? And when you go in Exodus, this was one thing I noticed right away when Rob brought this up in Exodus 9, that the whole reason, when you look through the process of Pharaoh having a hardened heart, look at the scripture closely, because it says, I'm hardening his heart, and all of this is because I want to show you my power, my glory. And then I want you to remember that. Your purpose, Moses' purpose, I think Moses' purpose was in being able to be a part of God showing his glory. And then leading the people through that process of keep glorifying God. And then Exodus is a whole nother item, and Rob did a good job on it. But what I see in there is it tells us that we forget. We're forgetters. Why did we come here? You know, during COVID, there was a lot of people, at least in my business and in some other businesses of the helping business, that quit. It was like, this is never going to end. They lost what the purpose of them getting into the job was. It wasn't about being satisfied with the job. I mean, I disliked COVID and the whole processes, everything that showed up out of that, as much as everybody else. But you have to remember what you're there for. Why do we come here? Sometimes, and Rob mentioned that I'm one of the deacons, sometimes it's, all right, so those of you that are on the board, on the church council, and pastors, and past pastor, please don't. But sometimes when you come to a church council meeting, those council meetings, sometimes they're really good, and you feel the Spirit move, And sometimes you sit there and you go, why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself through this? And I remember going, I mean, I'll be honest, a couple of times I left, it was like, I'm done. My head's going to explode here. I'm done. I'm going home. Other times I'd go home to Dawn and I'd just start like, geez, like, you know. But it was all because I forgot what the purpose was. What the purpose of me being a discipleship deacon was in getting other people to, number one, and there's two sides of that. Number one, discipleship is making a disciple. So bringing people from their unsaved, unknowing of God, non-knowing of God, to a knowledge of God, that's one piece of discipleship. The next piece of discipleship, and it's in Matthew 28, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, teaching them in following everything that I have taught you. So now we've got two pieces, and I will tell you that there's a gift on both sides of that. Some people do really well at what we call evangelism or discipleship in that field. Others do really well in being able to come alongside and to help grow that Christian. Okay? So what's our purpose? Glorify God. Everything that we do. Next slide, please. I will tell you that I'm trying to stay on time. Alan told me that we had a meeting at 10:45 this morning. I said, that's if I'm done by 10:45. All right? We'll get to those meetings at 10:45 when we're done. All right, the next one is connection. So we've started with gratitude. We are thankful. We express our thankfulness to God. We express our thankfulness for everything else around us to the people around us. There are some, and there are some people. I had a seminar academy thing in leadership a while back, and it was, what's the room feel like when you come in the room? When you walk in the room, is the room warm and becoming, or is it cold? And do you bring the temperature from a nice 70 degrees? Do you bring that temperature down to about a minus zero? We all know people that can walk in the room and they'll brighten a room. But we also know people, as soon as they walk in the room, it's like, oh, why? Why? Okay? That's just kind of the way people work. But with connection, we should be looking to make connections. Now, this one here is Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Now, that's the New King James. But a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. When you get together with somebody, and most of the time we get to people that we know, but there are people that we prefer not to be around. I mean, it's like, go back to high school. Where's the kids in high school? You're in high school, right? All right. It's like, everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. I think I'll go eat worms. Okay? Sometimes it's that way in work, too. Everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. I think I'll go eat worms. But if we're making connection, we're helping those people get away from that. That's that temporary. We're moving them into, oh, life is good. Glad you came into my office today. Glad we had lunch today. Okay? Then we go way back. Connection was the first thing that God saw was needed in his new world. When he created all the heavens and the earth, all the animals, all of that, and then he created Adam, and he breathed life into Adam, and Adam's out there just going about his business. He is feeding the animals, he's petting the animals, he's looking at all the stuff around him in the garden, and he's like, there's something missing from Adam. And he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And at that point, I think that fits that man or woman. Man is that generic form. We are not meant to be by ourselves. We're not meant to sit in our own homes and wallow in our own thoughts. When you sit in your own stew, what's that feel like? What's that typically do? You kind of go down that spiral, and it starts to spiral, and pretty soon some of those people actually are so alone that they get to the point of, I might as well kill myself. There's no purpose in me being here. But one of the things that we do now for those people is that we call out people that will actually talk to them. We call it the crisis intervention services, the big fancy name, for a couple of people that join together and will go out and just sit and talk with them. Being able to make a connection with them. Being able to let them vent what's going on in their life. And then being able to share that, hey, you know what? You're not the only one that that happens to. There's other people out here that have had that same issue. And they get counseling. Sometimes those things are in our own chemical imbalances. And so then we need to go to a doctor and we need to get medication that balances our hormones and all of our being medically, but a lot of times it's, let's put them with somebody. Let's make some connection. One of the things that we do here is our life groups. Our life groups, because our corporate worship here is difficult to make connection. Even when we go out to the Faith Cafe, it's difficult to make real connections. But in the life groups, and Alan has done a really good job of putting life groups together, that's where four or five couples or people get together and they study the Word, but they also share life. What's going on in your life today? Well, let's pray about that. Let's put that on our prayer list amongst us. The other is that typically out of those life groups is that there's texting, there's phone calls, there's checking up on them. Sometimes it's a matter of, I'll need a ride to go to my doctor appointment. Well, I can do that for you. I'm willing to do that for you. That's where this church, with the life groups, we make connection for people. Now, our other connection, because we talk about this all the time, that's a horizontal connection, but we have to have a vertical connection. We have to connect with God. We do that through prayer. We do that through Bible studies. We do that through our devotions. One of the things that happens in my life is that I get, I think there's about four emails come, and they come at about 2 o'clock in the morning, because my phone starts dinging it now. I do not wake up at 2 o'clock for these. When I'm up at 2 o'clock, I notice my phone dinging at about 2 to 4 in the morning. So they show up before I'm even awake. Then that's the time in the morning that I can sit in my office for the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes, looking at my email, and I can look through devotionals. And out of the four of them that come, usually at least one of those hits me where I need to be for that morning. So I make that connection. I have that connection to be able to go, you know what, God, yep, that's one of those areas that today I was kind of feeling, well, today, I didn't do it today, obviously, because I was getting ready, getting up here, the ice was on the road, actually, this morning when I, and I made a connection this morning for the ice, too, because as soon as I hit the road this morning, I stopped and got my coffee. I hit the road and it was like, whoo, that was a little slick. Even in my Suburban, that's a little slick. Well, I look at my map. I have a map that shows all of our personnel in Hardin County that are out. And I find that one of my deputies is down in the south end of the county. Well, I made that connection. I reached out to him on the phone. I went, Court. Good morning, Happy New Year. What's going on this morning, and is it as icy on your end of the county as it is on my end of the county? You know what he said? The only reason he was on that far reach of the county is because there was already a rollover this morning. He goes, yeah, it's icy. I'm sitting on a rollover. It's foggy down here. And we had a little bit of time to have a conversation. I make connections with him that way. The last thing in connection, I'm going to take you to John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, do we express that just by being by ourselves? No. You can't express love when you're by yourself. That's the reason that God in the garden said, whoa, you know what? It's not good for man to be alone. He's got to be able to share. He's got to be able to love. That was his plan even from the beginning. So then he did this wonderful thing of taking a rib and he made Eve. And if you go back through the processes of all of our wedding stuff that we always talk about, it was taken from a rib so that she was beside Adam. Not in front, not behind. It was so that Eve was beside him. He had a helpmate there. He had somebody that he could share with. He probably had days that it was like, oh, those crazy apes. Eve, you would not believe these crazy apes today. They're driving me nuts. And Eve can go, oh, just relax, Adam. Just chill, buddy. Let's just go over here and eat a few fig leaves and do some of that weird stuff of eating green stuff. Maybe it was like, well, let's go out and kill a cow because we'll give you a good steak tonight, Adam. Okay? Veggies are not in, green is not in my repertoire. So if we're ever eating together, no green. All right? I'll give you that as a connection point already. If you put vegetables in front of me, we are disconnecting. That's not going to happen. All right, let's go to the next slide. Strength. So on this one, it is Deuteronomy. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So number one in strength is let's trust God's strength. Let's lean on God's strength. We don't have to fear. There are a lot of people that go through this world and it's like, oh, you know, and this is going to sound political, please don't take it that way, but this is the way it works with the current process of where we are politically and in the country. Oh man, Biden's going to screw this up. Oh man. In fact, I heard it this morning. Not offensive, please, whoever said this to me, I know who did it, but don't take this as an offense. But it's like, oh, they're going to come up. They're going to roll out a new pandemic. I'm like, really? Oh, yeah. It's already in the works. And then we've got that that's going on with China and the little nutcase from North Korea. Can't think of what his name is. And then we also got the guy in Russia that's lobbing all these bombs into Ukraine. Why are we afraid? Because who really has control of everything? It's not us. It's not the nut jobs in all those countries that think they've got the power. They think they have power. They don't. Okay? So we don't need to be afraid. Trust in the strength. But the other side of that is trusting in the strength and the power. Can I walk around a little further? Can I get off this stage? Because I'm feeling really cramped up here. Alan, control the sound, please. All right, otherwise I'll just take the headset off and yell at y'all. So there are things that we have that are all different strengths. Now, this morning, as I came in here, technology's not my baby. And as I was working this week, I had to put some slides together so that you had something to look at up here. I did that in this old man's Microsoft PowerPoint. All right? But you're not seeing it in PowerPoint because what we use here is ProPresenter. I think that's an Apple product, if I'm not mistaken. Macintosh. Oh, it's just a one-off kind of a thing. All right? But who put this together for me this morning? This man right here, Dustin. He was able to go through that, and I told him, I said, I'm not sure I can do ProPresenter, but I can do PowerPoint. And he went, that's a breeze. I said, well, I won't have it until Friday or Saturday. I sent it to him Friday afternoon. Last night when we met over at Rob and Elaine's, he's like, yeah, I spent about an hour, slid those slides right over there. You can't tell the difference, can you? You have no clue. Okay? The other is, I'm kind of a, shall we say, I'm a little rough around the edges. All right? I tend to hit things, and my guys in my IT department at the county go, they call me red light. Because I'm like, let's get this done, let's get this done, let's get this done. And then I'll call them up and I'll say, ooh, this computer, I hate my computer. What have you done? Well, I've hit control alt delete a couple of times, I've started it back up, and then I get right back into the program and they'll go, relax. In fact, I found out the other day, I'd never heard this before, but I found out the other day when I restart my computer, you're supposed to wait for 15 minutes before you start using programs because the computer is trying to reshuffle. Oh, 15 minutes. I cannot wait 15 minutes. I got things to do, okay? And then we got people that are more of encouragers. I can encourage. I can be that slow it down, sensitive kind of guy. Yeah, Rosemary's laughing. Not really. Okay. But when I need slowed down, I go over to my wife. She's like, all right, just relax. And a lot of times, I told you about the council meetings. She would be the one that would come to me, and now she is the church clerk. So now she sits in those council meetings, taking all the notes. And she'll look at me sometimes. She'll give me that eye. Like, chill. Or we'll leave the council meeting, and she'll go, look at it from this side. She takes the problem that we were working on in the council meeting, and she'll go, you know why? It's because that person is more a relational person. They want to build relationships. Relationships, ministerships. Okay? They want you to have a feel-good time when you come to church. Yes, Deb, I'm talking about you. But the other is, we were all given gifts. If you look at, let me look at my note. Let's go to Romans 12. Romans 12, starting at verse 3. Again, this is out of the New King James, so it may not read exactly like yours. For I say, through grace given to you, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Oh. So now we've got that I am, sorry, that train went the other way again. Let me look at my slide for just a second. We've got gratitude, we've got a purpose. My purpose and my gift is different than Randy's. My gift is different than my wife's. My gift, I'll say this, not my gift, I think, is in leadership and being able to drive the train and push things down the road. But I sometimes forget about the people that are coming on the train. So I told you that my IT guys called me red light. That's about how I drive a train. We need to get there. We need to get this done. We need to get it under control. But I forget sometimes what those people beside me are bringing to the game. So I don't always make connection. But the other part is that I'm the one that's like, here we go. We're going to move forward. And actually, in our finish project, it was like, let's just barge forward. And Rob's over there like, let's slow that train down a little bit. Okay? He's real uncomfortable with moving forward and just charging it out there and putting it out there. I'm more like, put the program out there. Because God will fill it. If it's God's plan, let's trust it. Sometimes I do that to my wife too. Spend the money, do the thing. If it's what we're supposed to do, the money will be there. Okay? The other is that I've got some things that I don't do well. I'm not a good numbers person. I'm not a relational person. So now I need on my team those people, and I need to actually slow down, and I need to think about what connection have I made with somebody that has this skill set. One of the things that came up this last year is we have the, I may say it wrong, but is it Reach to Recovery, not Reach to Recovery? What's the program? Life Recovery. Thank you. Okay? And that was a program that was asked. There was some background work to that. But Hope and Ian took that on like champs. All I had to do was kind of process it through the discipleship side of our organizational. But Hope and Ian took that on like champs. And they have 30 people, 20 to 30 people. Is that about right? Okay. That they're working at making life, recovering life from all of the things that we do that become addictions for us. And looking back at what got us to this point. How did we become workaholics? How did we become alcoholics? How did we become drug addicts? How did we become haters? Did you know that's an addiction? There's an addiction to gratitude, and there's an addiction to being haters. Gratitude, actually, and there is lots of studies for this, that gratitude is a habit, and that it is physically good for us. Gratitude dumps dopamine into our system, and that's the one thing that makes us feel good. Dopamine's a great drug, and it's good for us psychologically and physically because it makes us feel better. And some of what we have as addictions is because that was the one thing that gives us that dopamine. Have you had people in your life that are, they just seem to be like, oh, did you hear the news today? Oh, that's never going to work out. Well, that's because that's become their habit. But the strengths are twofold. Number one, I think we need strength that we fear not, that we be strong and of good courage. but that we also look over here and who's got the other strengths that we don't? It's kind of like my body. Last night we were over at Rob and Elaine's, and one of these two, I think it was that young man right there. He had a balloon, and I was kind of harassing him. I would never do that, but I did. And I took that balloon from him, and then he got a hold of me and grabbed my hand. I had the balloon in this hand, was going to keep it from him, but he grabbed onto that hand, and he got a hold of one thumb. Well, you know what? That's my bad thumb. So as soon as he grabbed that and started manipulating my hand a little bit, it's like, okay, you can have it. I cry uncle pretty quickly. Okay? So this is my bad hand because I can't grip real well with it. This is my bad arm because this was an elbow injury that I had many years ago from the ice, so I only have half of my elbow actually in there. But did I throw this hand out? And did I throw this arm out because the elbow's bad? Looks like I got them both, right? Because they still work together. They still do the jobs that they need to do, and I can't work if I don't have this hand. I've tried that. When you have a broken arm, you try working without that arm or that hand that's in the sling or in the cast. Deb's back there with a boot today. Does that cause problems when you're trying to do things? Yep. Okay. So honoring the strength that we have from God, honoring the strengths and connecting with these other gifts that God gave them. You're going to have to go two slides, Ed. That second slide just slipped in there. All right. Last one, and to wrap this all up. So I told you at the beginning that my words are, let me go back and make sure I get them, is always working and always showing gratitude, making connections, making connections with people that have different gifts, strengths, working with a purpose. And we found that God's purpose has always been and always is working to praise Him, showing what He does for us to other people. People wonder sometimes how we do what we do. Well, it's because of God. It's because of the strength He gives us. It's because of the grace and mercy that He shows us. And then, so I have it on my paper at the office as always show gratitude, work with a purpose, make connections, connect with people, use strength. I think my sign actually says honor strength. And we found out this morning that, through scripture, that that's two sides. One is honor the strength that God gives us. Go forth without fear. Take courage in everything we're doing. And the other side is honor the strength of others. Use the gifts that God gave everybody to make a complete. And the last thing on there is that if you do those first four, miracles will happen. God will show up. He always does. But we have to work through those four things. So the scripture on there is Matthew 18, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." We don't have to have a whole corporate group. It's one of the reasons that we encourage our life groups. but we can go down to only two of us. There's a time, and sometimes I'm a little better at this, that when we sit down with somebody, I did this a few weeks ago, just take them privately and sit down and let them talk, work through some of the issues. This happened to be one that got sent my way. Rob kind of volunteered me, which is good for Rob. So it was some things that I could take my gifts and share with this person and help them work through something that was bothering them in a big way. Now when I talk to that person, it's like, not so much. I've kind of dealt with that, kind of working through that. But the other was, I got to meet the sweetest little girl in that whole process. Now, not always a big kids person, especially little kids. Babies. Oh my gosh. Okay? My niece is back there, and she's like, oh yeah, he's not a kid person. But when I took that time, I got to meet the sweetest little girl that now, every Sunday, I get to talk to her and just be there for about 2 minutes. And she has a connection. I have a connection. And I think as long as they're going to church here and as long as I'm not 6 feet under, we'll have that connection. And God makes things happen. That little girl no longer will be living with what is a fear of mom's, because mom doesn't have that same fear anymore. The other is that we pray. Prayer is one of those things, and I think this started after one of the things that Ashley had one of the songs about, and it was about, pray Jesus on this. Is that the name of the song? Bring Jesus to this. What was that song you brought up like a month ago? Oh, come on. I played on the radio every once in a while, but it was, thank you. Thank you. So I've found myself since then to be able to go when he brings me a problem. I apologize, I don't remember your name.
Jim,
thank you. You know, it feels really, I knew him the other day. I had to go to I went to his place of business, and it was like, I got to know who he is, but, all right? But if he brings me a problem, I find myself now more, as long as we're not in a big place where it brings attention to him directly, but it's like, Jim, can we just have 2 minutes of prayer? Just say a short prayer over them about that problem, and we both walk away feeling good. Because I've probably shared some of that problem with that person, and then just take that time and speak Jesus into that problem. That song meant so much that morning, because again, my work is all about disasters. My wife has my phones right now because I couldn't deal with it right now. But that's kind of what I live for. But sometimes when I'm going to that issue, somebody's house fire, the derechos, the blizzards, and I'm going to somebody that is stuck in the snow. You know, the other night I spent about 8 hours Sorry. Told my wife the other day, it's really dry these days. I spent about 8 hours in my truck sitting on Mallard and Hardin Road. Part of that was, I thought to myself, oh, if you people would just stay home during this blizzard. We have a blizzard warning and we have do not travel. But every time that somebody would come up to that truck and go, is the road closed? That's exactly what it was, all right? I had to think to myself, all right, they're in the situation. I deal with this situation all the time. It's nothing to me. But to them, my whole world is turned upside down. Actually, their whole world went away because you could only see a few feet in front of you. When people come to my office and go, I have this lady called me the other day, and it's one of my regulars. She's the supervisor. She's on my operations team. We meet every Monday. She called me up the other day about 12:30 and went, are you in the office? I actually thought I was in trouble, but I said, yes, I'm going to be over. She came over, and then it was like, oh, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this person. When I'm done with those, I think, pray Jesus into the situation. Bring Jesus in on top of all of these, and miracles happen. Miracles will happen. Jesus promised to always show up. Let me get down there for a second. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. And all throughout the Bible, every time God shows up, as long as we look at his direction, God will show up and God will work a miracle. There are some times that we find that hard to look at. But when we get outside of that little problem and then go back to our life of gratitude, we can go, thank you, God. That wasn't a really good situation I was in, but by pulling some strengths from others, Mr. Rick back there is one of those great ones to come up to me, and I always go, how's it going, brother? Every time he shows up, it's like, whew, everything's gone. Because somebody else is sharing, and God shows up. God shows up in Keith. God shows up in Randy DeBerg. God shows up in Dustin. He doesn't have to say much to me, but when we meet, it's like, oh, well, that wasn't such a big issue. So I encourage you, as we move into the new year, 2023. Whew. Now, that's 64 and a half years for me. It's a lot more for some of you. It's a lot less for a lot of you. Some of you wouldn't even know what the number 1958 meant. Okay, but as we move into 2023, let's always be grateful. Make a habit of being grateful, saying thank you. I go into people's offices and I ask them for something and I say thank you. Well, I didn't really do anything. I don't care. That was what I needed today. At this minute, that's what I needed. Thank you. And then we look at our purpose. Are we working with a purpose? Number one, God's purpose for us is to share Him, to be a reflection, a mirror of Him. When we walk into the room, what does the temperature of the room do? Does it go up because we're reflecting the light of Jesus? Or does it go down because our mirror is dimmed? We got a few places where the mirroring material, whatever they call it, on the back of that, has come off because of some of the things we've been through. And then looking at making connections with people. Be sure that when you walk into the room, number one, you're grateful for the situation. Number two, that you're reflecting Jesus into that situation. And number three is connect with somebody. Connect with somebody. Dawn and I have some friends that live out in Indiana, and they're really great about this. All the time on their Facebook, they are sharing how they have connected with people on airlines, how they've connected with people in McDonald's, how they've connected with people in Goodwill, because they're intentional. Then as we connect, so we're grateful, we are, my brain's full. We have a purpose, we've made connection, honor the strength. And if we've made connection, will we not find what their strength is? What is it that they can bring to the work? If we do those four things, honor the strength, do it with courage, not afraid, because God Himself has put the Spirit within us, we can go boldly, and miracles will happen. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that we were able to meet on the January 1st. We're able to meet at the beginning of a new year, that we worship you, that we look at your power, that we ask for your power through this year. We know there's going to be trials. We know there's going to be joys. But help us always to be grateful, to have the purpose of reflecting you, to make connection with people that are starving for you. They don't know it, but they're starving for you. And then we look at building strengths, and that we go in your strength. We go without fear. We go in courage, and that you'll show up. You promised to show up. As we go through into this new year, help us to look for you in all of those situations where you show up. In Jesus' name, amen.